The second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though they may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to point to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, whose weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who builds us up, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was nearly about 2 years ago, a new ministry was started here at Faith Lutheran. It began under the name The Challenge. This was an invitation by one of our members to begin providing the much-needed items for some of our homeless brothers and sisters. In the initial article, Terry wrote about how feeling the need to serve, but simply doing so through things that she is already doing. She was one that knitted. Okay. I know there's a difference. She was one who knitted, and she found herself, whether it be sitting at home or at a doctor's office or whatever, was constantly knitting and thought, why not share this gift with someone who is in need? So in that initial article in the newsletter, she talked about this need and this desire, not knowing, you know, who. She's aware of a couple organizations around town, but really opened it up and said, if you know of someone, let us know. Let me know, and then we can organize. There was this desire, this passion of love to help those who are in need. Our epistle lesson for this morning is also addressing some needs, though in a different way. Paul is writing here to the Church of Corinth. The Church of Corinth is in a few little tussles with each other. They're misguided. There's been some false prophets come along that have told them things that aren't in line with the teaching of Jesus Christ and the things that that Paul taught them as he spent time there. There's all kinds of debate and debacle about the different... Hi, Jonah. About the different... You gotta go with Mama. I know. It's so hard. That one is sneaky. He waits so Mama isn't watching and then he runs. So there's some challenges amongst the Church of Corinth, and they've been misguided. There is confusion and a hierarchy that has begun to form amongst their statuses, and all kinds of different things. And today in our text, we meet one of those things, one of those issues, the issues of food. Now, Paul starts off his argument here with this saying I love. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And then he goes into the scenario of food. He starts talking about the food that has been offered, that has been sacrificed and offered to other gods. Food that is causing a disconnect with the people. And Paul begins by making the simple argument that we know there are no other gods, so this is a non-issue. We know that. We know that this meat that has been sacrificed to another god, even if we eat it, it doesn't matter. We're not worshiping that god. We know the one true God. And while he's making this specific distinction about meat, it's more about just meat. It's more about just food. It's about those idols. It's about idols that get in our way, that get in between us and God, that cause us ourselves to stumble and others to stumble. And so Paul continues his argument. He goes on to talk about, if it's not about food and not about idols, then what is it about? It's about being a stumbling block for those who are weak in faith. It's about listening to others. It's about loving our neighbor. And it's about being aware and constant of their needs. Paul is inviting the Church of Corinth to not think about what we know, what we do, what we come to trust, but rather to hone in on what is our neighbor's need. Making the argument that they see you in these temples eating that meat, and for them this is a stumbling block because they are weak in faith. Now, weak in faith here isn't just pointing at someone who's doing something wrong or sinning. As someone who has some trouble, some questions, they're in discernment. They don't know what to make of. They're new to their relationship with God. Maybe they've hit a huge detour in their journey with God, and they don't know what to make of it, and they're very impressionable. Paul says to beware of that. It's anything, not just meat, is a stumbling block. We all have idols, things that get in the way. Jesus' time, they're talking about these different gods that they worship, the god of the sun, the moon, the water, whatever. For us, we see idols differently. We have idols that revolve around gender issues of a male-dominant society, race and class issues, where those who are wealthy, those who are white, have certain privileges. We have issues of education for those who have better education automatically get off to a better start at no consolation of their own, but rather just the system they were born in. We have issues of freedom and slavery. We have issues of rural and urban. These are all things that we have where knowledge, this distinction of subject and object, come in, and we start to categorize. We start to create us and them. We create divisions. Paul is inviting us to evaluate, to look at those divisions in our own lives. What are the things that we uphold that lift us up above others? In this text, these people who are eating the meat probably are folks that have many opportunities. They would have had the animals to butcher. They would have been the important folks that would have been invited to these feasts. And even if they didn't believe in the God and participated in those rituals, they were setting an example. An example that was noticed by others who weren't there. So it's not about food. It's not about, but what it is about is listening and loving our neighbor. Paying attention to those who are wrestling, those who are struggling with their own faith, their own relationship to God. And Paul invites us to do so in a way that isn't one that is boisterous, that's screaming and yelling, calling you a sinner and saying you're wrong. But no, listen, pay attention. See what is going on. Be aware of what your actions are doing. So what does this mean for us in our own daily lives? I think of the Love Challenge, this ministry that Terry started. It ended up getting connected with the van. As many of you know, this has become an important ministry that we've partnered with here at Faith. And that the van's motto is, no questions, no apologies, just help. I think this motto fully embraces what Paul is talking to us about today. It doesn't matter what their status is, if they've already gotten a meal today or a pair of socks or whatever, where they're staying. We've got this stuff in our van. Can you use any of it? Take what you need. There's no apologies. There's no trying to make this these people feel bad for the situation they're in. It's just being present with them. They're just there to help. Just there to love. Love builds up. This is the same love we see in our gospel lesson this morning when Jesus encounters the man with an unclean spirit. No, it's not an unclean man. It's a man who has an unclean spirit within him. And this demon, and we can expand this to anything that demonizes us in our own worlds. Those things that separate us, that aim to tear us apart from God and destroy our relationship with God. The things that get in and say, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you don't belong here. You are not God's child, but that is not true. And that spirit knows the power of Jesus. It names Jesus as the Holy One of God. Someone who is set apart, someone who is anointed, someone who is God's very own Son. Jesus responds in love. Jesus responds in love by silencing and casting out this evil spirit. Now this man who had a spirit within him, if he hadn't been already, would have been completely ostracized and excommunicated from his family, from his loved ones, from the place that in Capernaum where he lived. He was a danger to himself and more likely a danger to others around him. And we don't know what this was, but we know what the consequences of his condition was. But out of love, Jesus cast out that demon and invites him back into community. Back into the community with God and back into the community of those there with him, his fellow brothers and sisters. Where does our own knowledge, the norms, the things that we are comfortable with, the things that we have accepted as everyday life, cause stumbling? What are these things that get in the way that we might not even think about? What can we do to promote love, to build up in love as Christ Jesus has done for us on the cross, as Paul is talking to the church in Corinth of? Love always, love continually outshines knowledge. Even if knowledge is the absolute correct truth to the nth degree scientifically proven, love trumps knowledge. Love outshines, outdoes knowledge. Knowledge, as I said, creates subjects and objects. It divides. It creates labels and categories. Lies begin to be observed and studied and tried to be understood. But love overcomes that. Love comes in and shrinks that distance between subject and object. Love comes in and invites us and unites us into one shared community, into a shared community that is one with God, and a shared community that is one with each other. Just love. Just love. Love is all we need. Love is that what God gives us. Love is the most important of these. In 1 Corinthians, this whole book is about love. Most of you know 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. At the very end of that chapter, Paul goes on to say, dum ba dum bum bum. Should have put a bookmark in here. Anyways, he talks about faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Love is what unites us. Love is what allows us to see our neighbor. Love is what encourages us to roll down our window and talk to that homeless person who's asking for a few bucks, even if we don't have any money in our pocket. Love is what encourages us to talk to that person that's sitting in the corner who maybe is in tears or with their head down. Maybe it's to encounter someone that we have a difference with, somebody who has a different opinion or belief or different political affiliation. Love is what draws us into them, because that is what God draws us into Him. God's love builds up. God's love builds us up through God's Word. God's love builds us up through this meal in which we share together. God's love builds us up with one another. God's love builds up. Amen.